The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from grants for the word medical.com, four grants for assistive technology for the blind. From the USABA.org, soccer team selections in Chula Vista. From neuroscience.news.com, poor quality sleep is linked to vision loss. From Cool Blind Tech, setting up bedtime mode on your Android 13. From grayingwithgrace.com, adaptive clothing ideas for the blind. Some of those ideas also include accommodating multiple disabilities, not just blindness. So let's get started. From grantsformedical.com, four grants for assistive technology for the blind, posted by Abigail Friedland, Friedland. Grants for Assistive Technology for the Blind support funding programs for buying assistive devices that help improve the life of an individual with a visual impairment. According to the World Health Organization, in many middle-income and low-income countries, only 5 to 20% of people who need assistive technologies and devices have access to them. In the United States, a person who requires an assistive device can receive government funding for 75% of the costs of buying such devices, and even more if they are on some sort of social assistance. Grants for Assistive Technology for the Blind, how assistive technologies extend your abilities. Assistive technology items are designed specifically to help individuals with vision loss or other disabilities. The items include Braille watches and Braille printers, to screen readers for blind individuals, screen magnifiers and video magnifiers for low vision computer users, to other devices for reading and writing with low vision. The potential benefits of augmentation with technology amplify the abilities and experiences of the blind. The production of innovative assistive devices is based on the concept of universal design. The results can help anyone who can benefit from the affordances of the new assistive technology. Assistive technologies for the blind are based on the abilities, limitations, and aspirations of an individual. With the strategic additions of the appropriate technology, it becomes remarkably easy to achieve your goals. However, it makes this technology expensive. Therefore, to support the purchase of these devices, grants for assistive technology for the blind are available. Grants for assistive technology for the blind, ways to fund assistive technology purchases. Assistive technology can change the lives of people suffering from disabilities. However, these adaptive devices can cost thousands of dollars. Fortunately, there are grants for assistive technology for the blind that help with purchasing the solutions you need without paying the full price. Vocational rehabilitation and special education programs. Students can get most assistive technology solutions through federally mandated programs such as vocational rehabilitation and special education. Schools receive these adaptive products as part of an individual education plan, IEP, or can get them through the Rehabilitation Act provisions. Vocational rehabilitation is a program designed toward self-sufficiency, where disabled students get help not only for paying college, but also to secure the adaptive devices and solutions they need to complete their coursework. After college, transition programs are available to assist students with job placement and training, sometimes including assistive devices in an individualized transition plan. For more information, contact your state's Parent Training and Information Center, PTI. Assistive Technology Fund, ATF. The Association of Blind Citizens, ACB. That's not correct. Okay, anyway, it would be ABC. Runs the Assistive Technology Fund, ATF, to support blind and visually impaired people accessing technology. Grants cover half the price of accessible software or equipment. Applicants must be legally blind, and the U.S. residents with annual household income below $50,000 and cash assets under $20,000. The application details and forms are available on our website. Visit https://www.blindcitizens.org/. Alternative Financing Technical Assistance Project, AFTAP. In the United States, funding to purchase assistive devices varies from state to state. The Rehabilitation Engineering and Assistive Technology Society of North America, RESNA, helps states offer low-interest loans under the Alternative Financing Technical Assistance Project, AFTAP. The RESNA maintains a list of contacts for the financing of assistive devices in each state and territory. Computer/Electronic Accommodations Program, Technology and Evaluation Center, CAPTEC. The Computer/Electronic Accommodations Program, Technology and Evaluation Center, CAPTEC, is the U.S. government support for the employees with a disability to purchase assistive devices. It is a facility dedicated to helping federal employees with disabilities find the best assistive technology, AT, solutions. National Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program, NDBEDP. The NDBEDP is a pilot program for assistive devices. The idea is to provide people with combined hearing and vision loss access to modern telecommunication tools. The necessary training is also given so that they can communicate, interact, use the internet, and contribute to their community. The program provides outreach, assessments, telecommunications technology, and training free of charge to those who meet federal eligibility guidelines. For more information, visit https://www.fcc.gov/general/national-deaf-blind-equipment-distribution-program. Conclusion. Technology is wonderful. However, if it is unaffordable for many people because of costs, its impact may be limited. Access to assistive devices is not a luxury, but a right. Grants for Assistive Technology for the Blind help needy citizens to meet funding to purchase assistive devices. Various programs offer funding support for the latest assistive technology. Check them out. From USABA.org, related posts. Posted October 26, 2022, the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes, USABA, is holding a team selection camp October 27 through 30 in Chula Vista, California, with 13 players with visual impairments and 3-sighted goalkeepers vying to earn a spot on the first ever USA Blind Soccer national team. From that pool of athletes, 8 players will join 2 goalkeepers to form the U.S. team that will begin international competition in 2023, the first step on the journey to competing at the Los Angeles 2028 Paralympic Games. By naming this first ever national team, it allows USABA to continue building blind soccer across the country, said USABA CEO Molly Quinn. Having elite level athletes in the sport provides engagement and empowerment opportunities for both youth and adults. The sport of blind soccer has been part of the Paralympic Games since 2004, but the U.S. has never fielded a team. That will all change in 2028 when Los Angeles plays host to the Olympic and Paralympic Games, and the U.S. will receive an automatic entry into the blind soccer competition as the host country. In the next 6 years, the world's 2 biggest sporting events will happen on American soil, added Quinn. In 2026, the FIFA World Cup will be played throughout the U.S. for the first time in 3 decades. In 2028, the Summer Olympic and Paralympic Games will take place in Los Angeles. It will mark the first time that LA has played host to the Paralympic Games. 13 athletes and 3 goalkeepers will be evaluated during the camp and through video from various events. With the final team announcement being made on Tuesday, November 1st. Leading the camp will be USA Blind Soccer head coach Katie Smith from Columbus, Ohio, along with assistant coaches Phil Wilkinson, that's F-I-L Wilkinson, from Mooresville, North Carolina, and Ryan Lazaro from Slidell, Louisiana. Earlier this year, we held 2 talent identification selection camps to get to this pool of athletes, Smith said. There is such incredible talent within this group, and as coaches, we look forward to seeing the progression the athletes have made since our last camp. With our experienced coaching staff, we are excited to assess the talent level and build camaraderie within this first-ever USA Blind Soccer Men's National Team. The 4-day camp includes 2 scrimmages on Friday and Saturday that are open to the public and media. Both scrimmages were held from 4 to 5 p.m. PDT at the Salt Creek Community Park Soccer Arena, located at 2710 Otay Lakes Road. The scrimmages were overseen by international referees Sky Arthur Banning from Pendleton, South Carolina, and Margaret Domka from Clemson, South Carolina. USA Blind Soccer Men's National Team Selection Camp Roster. Players: Noah Beckman of Columbus, Ohio, David Brown of Chula Vista, California, Kevin Brown of Falls Church, Virginia, Ricardo Castaneda from Fort Worth, Texas, Charles Catherine from Brooklyn, New York, Antoine Craig from Richmond, Virginia, Tanner Gares from Tucson, Arizona, Cody Kirchner from New Brunswick, New Jersey, John Marquez from Fort Worth, Texas, Alvaro Mora from Phoenix, Arizona, Jefferson Palacios from Baltimore, Maryland, Ahmed Sharif from Staten Island, New York, Casimir Verda from Novi, Michigan. Goalkeepers: Brant Heron from Jacksonville, Florida, Kyle Knott from Brevard, North Carolina, and Elijah Tejeda from San Diego, California. From NeuroscienceNews.com, poor quality sleep may be linked to heightened risk of irreversible sight loss. It's posted May 22nd. Summary: those who suffer from poor sleep quality, including daytime sleepiness, snoring, or getting too much or too little sleep, are at increased risk of developing glaucoma. Poor quality sleep, including too much or too little shut-eye, daytime sleepiness, and snoring, may be linked to a heightened risk of developing irreversible sight loss due to glaucoma, suggests a large UK biobank study published in the open access journal BMJ Open. The findings underscore the need for sleep therapy in people at high risk of the disease, as well as high eye checks among those with chronic sleep disorders, to check for early signs of glaucoma, conclude the researchers. Glaucoma is a leading cause of blindness and will likely affect an estimated 112 million people worldwide by 2040. Characterized by progressive loss of light-sensitive cells in the eye and optic nerve damage, it causes and contributory factors are still poorly understood. But if left untreated, glaucoma can progress to irreversible blindness. While population screening may not be cost-effective, targeted screening of high-risk groups might be, suggests the researchers. And previously published research suggests that sleep disorders may be an important risk factor. To explore these issues further, the researchers set out to ascertain the risk of glaucoma among people with different sleep behaviors, insomnia, too much or too little sleep, night or morning chronotypes, owls or larks, daytime sleepiness, and snoring. They drew on 409,053 participants in the UK Biobank, all of whom were aged between 40 and 69 in 2006-10 when recruited, and who had provided details of their sleep behaviors. Sleep duration was defined as normal, 7 to less than 9 hours per day, and as too little or too much outside this range. Chronotype was defined according to whether the person described themselves as more of a morning lark or night owl. Insomnia severity, trouble falling asleep at night or frequent waking, was classified as never or sometimes or usually, whereas subjective daytime sleepiness was categorized as never or rarely, sometimes or frequent. Background information on potentially influential factors was retrieved from the questionnaires filled in at recruitment. Age, average 57. Sex, race, ethnicity, educational attainment, lifestyle, weight, BMI, and residential area, level of deprivation. Medical records and death registration data were used to track the health and survival of all the participants until a first diagnosis of glaucoma, hospital admission, death, emigration, or the end of the monitoring period, 31st of March 2021, whichever came first. During an average monitoring period of just over 10.5 years, 8,690 cases of glaucoma were identified. Those with glaucoma tended to be older and more likely to be male, and never smoker, and to have high blood pressure or diabetes than those who weren't diagnosed with the disease. With the exception of the chronotype, the other four sleep patterns and behaviors were all associated with varying degrees of heightened glaucoma risk. Short or long sleep duration was associated with an 8% heightened risk, insomnia 12%, snoring 4%, and frequent daytime sleepiness 20%. And compared with those with a healthy sleep pattern, snorers and those who experienced daytime sleepiness were 10% more likely to have glaucoma, while insomniacs and those with a short or long sleep duration pattern were 13% more likely to have it. The results were similar when categorized by different types of glaucoma. This is an observational study and, as such, can't establish cause. The study relied on self-report rather than objective measurement and reflected one point in time only, acknowledged the researchers. Glaucoma might itself influence sleep patterns rather than the other way around, they add. But there are potentially plausible biological explanations for the associations found between sleep disturbance and glaucoma, say the researchers. The internal pressure of the eye, a key factor in the development of glaucoma, rises when a person is lying down and when sleep hormones are out of kilter, as occurs in insomnia, explain the researchers. Depression and anxiety, which often go hand in hand with insomnia, may also increase the internal eye pressure, possibly because of dysregulated cortisol production, they suggest. Similarly, repetitive or prolonged episodes of low levels of cellular oxygen caused by sleep apnea, sudden stopping of breathing during sleep, might cause direct damage to the optic nerve, it has been suggested. As sleep behaviors are modifiable, these findings underscore the necessity of sleep intervention for individuals at high risk of glaucoma and potential ophthalmologic screening among individuals with chronic sleep problems to help prevent glaucoma, conclude the researchers. About this sleep and visual neuroscience research news, author, BMJ Media Relations, source, BMJ, contact BMJ Media Relations, image, the image is in the public domain. Original research, open access. Association of sleep behavior and pattern with the risk of glaucoma, a prospective cohort study in the UK Biobank by CUNSUN et al., published by BMJ Open. There is an abstract, association of sleep behavior and pattern with the risk of glaucoma, a prospective cohort study in the UK Biobank. Objectives, given the role of intraocular pressure in glaucoma, the patient's sleeping pattern might contribute to the development and progression of glaucoma. We performed a study to understand the association between sleep behaviors and glaucoma. Design, our study was a prospective cohort study. Setting, this was a prospective cohort study in the UK Biobank. Self-reported data on 5 sleep behaviors were collected using a questionnaire at baseline. We identified 4 sleep patterns based on a cluster analysis of the sleep behaviors. Participants in the UK Biobank, 409,053 participants were recruited between 2006 and 2010 and followed for a diagnosis of glaucoma. We identified glaucoma as any hospital admission with a diagnosis of glaucoma based on UK Biobank inpatient hospital data. Individuals who withdrew from UK Biobank or were diagnosed with glaucoma before recruitment or had self-reported surgery or later treatment for glaucoma or had no information on sleep behaviors were excluded. Primary and secondary outcome measures. We estimated hazard ratios, HRs, with 95% confidence intervals, CI, using Cox proportional hazards models to estimate the associations of different sleep behaviors as well as identified sleep patterns with the risk of glaucoma, adjusting for multiple confounders. Results. Compared with individuals who had a healthy sleep pattern, an excess risk of any glaucoma was observed among individuals with snoring and daytime sleepiness, HR 1.11, 95% CI 1.03 to 1.19, or insomnia and short or long sleep duration, HR 1.13, 95% CI 1.06 to 1.20, but not late chronotype sleep pattern, HR 0.98, 95% CI 0.93 to 1.03. Conclusion, snoring, daytime sleepiness, insomnia, and short or long duration, individually or jointly, were all associated with the risk of glaucoma. These findings underscore the need for sleep intervention for individuals at high risk of glaucoma, as well as potential ophthalmologic screening among individuals with chronic sleep problems for glaucoma prevention. From CoolBlindTech.com, posted on Halloween, how to set up bedtime mode using Android 13. Bedtime mode is one of those rare smartphone tools that's actually designed to help you use your phone less. Instead of doom-scrolling into the wee hours of the morning, configuring your Android phone's bedtime mode can help remind you when it's time to wind down and make it easier to put your phone away. Here's how to get started. The initial setup steps were on a Google Pixel 6 Pro running Android 13 with the October 5th security update. They may differ slightly on other Android devices, but the overall process should be similar. Note, if you've already set up bedtime mode, you can skip to the next section to see your customization options. Go to Settings, Digital Well-being and Parental Controls, Bedtime Mode. Toggle Do Not Disturb for bedtime mode on or off. It's usually on by default. And then select Next. Here, you can choose whether to enable bedtime mode automatically on a schedule or within certain hours when you plug in your phone to charge. To set up a schedule, select start and end times to adjust each, and select the days of the week to enable it only on certain days. If you'd rather have bedtime mode start when you plug in your phone at night, select the turn on while charging option. You can set a specific time range to start the mode when you charge, like between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m., so it doesn't turn on when you top up your battery in the afternoon. Select Done, then select Allow or Don't Allow on the next screen to enable or disable additional sleep detection features. Once you've completed initial setup, you can revisit your preferences in the Digital Well-being section of the Settings menu. There are a few more display options at your disposal, like the ability to dim your wallpaper when bedtime mode starts. At this point, bedtime mode is enabled, but you have a few more ways to customize it. You can adjust these options now or come back to them at any time through the Digital Well-being settings. To change your bedtime schedule or switch to enabling it while charging, and vice versa, select Bedtime Routine. There's a second menu of options below that, which is labeled Customize. This is where you'll find a couple of other options along with display settings. Under Screen Options at Bedtime, you can choose to toggle the following on or off. Grayscale, screen changes to black and white during bedtime mode. Keep the screen dark, turns off the always on display if enabled. Dim the wallpaper. Dark theme switches to black background during bedtime mode. There's also a toggle to have bedtime mode turn off with your next alarm, even if it's before the mode is scheduled to end. From grayingwithgrace.com, adaptive clothing ideas for the blind. Adaptive clothing for people that are blind often makes individuals that are experiencing a vision impairment feel more self-sufficient and independent. Keep reading to find out more about the issues that visually impaired people face when it comes to choosing clothing and ideas for adaptive clothing that are aimed at making the task of getting dressed a lot easier. What is adaptive clothing? Adaptive clothing for disabled adults is clothes that are created specifically for individuals with disabilities. This includes physical disabilities such as blindness or invisible disabilities like chronic illnesses. The main goal that surrounds adaptive clothing is to make it easier for a disabled person to get dressed. What challenges do the blind have when getting dressed? For a person that can see with normal vision, it can be hard to think about the types of issues that a blind person faces when choosing their wardrobe or even getting dressed. The main challenges that they face are seeing colors and to mix and match their outfits since they cannot see. What types of adaptive clothing are available for the blind? Adaptive clothing for visually impaired or blind people includes button hooks for buttons and zippers or easy pull-up tabs. Zippers are hard to open or close when you're not able to see your zipper fastener. Zipper tabs come with round, large loops on one end so that it becomes easy to insert a finger and then to either pull the tab down or up. This is one of the smaller innovations that makes it much easier for individuals that can no longer see. Button hooks also make it easier to unbutton and button clothes. Replacing shoelaces with Velcro straps. Shoelaces are not easy to tie, especially when a person cannot see them. Velcro straps offer a convenient and easy method to secure your shoes without having to mess around with finicky laces. Velcro straps can also be useful as fasteners for pants, skirts, and dresses, since they are easier to use when compared to traditional zippers and buttons. Replace buttons with magnetic fasteners. Like Velcro straps, magnetic fasteners can be a lifesaver when compared with traditional zippers and buttons. These fasteners automatically close when bringing one side of a button close to the other side. Another benefit that magnetic fasteners offer is their small size and that they can appear like a traditional button, which is not possible with Velcro straps. This can make a dress appear normal, and this can be something that is appreciated by a blind person. How can adaptive clothing help the blind get dressed more easily? Over the last few years, a few major fashion brands and young entrepreneurs have started adapting their products to match what blind people need. Innovative and new solutions have started to crop up, and the latest adaptive clothing dedicated to the blind has become a fast-growing industry. Below are a few of the ideas which have arisen from these processes. Indicating colors. Different ways are now available to not only indicate colors, but also the information on the tag about how to care for the garment. Some of these include tacks, palettes, or embroideries that have been made from beads that spell out information on a garment's surface, making the item look appealing and providing information that is important to the person wearing the garment. Braille tags are also a development that attaches the tag of the garment to convey all the necessary information to a blind person. Knowing the outside and inside of a garment. Seams are especially designed so that one side is frayed. This can help a blind person identify which is the inside and which is the outside of the garment. A pocket to keep a walking stick. When a visually impaired person visits unknown places, a common problem is that they often experience is to make sure their walking cane is in a spot where they can find it again. Keeping it on them inside their clothes is the best way to keep their walking stick safe. A 23-centimeter, especially designed pocket can be useful to hold a stick or walking cane when the person wants to relax or sit down without the worry of losing their walking stick. Softer textures for tactile senses that are more refined. Blind people often develop other senses which are more refined when compared to people that have all five senses. This can mean that they need clothing that matches up to these finer sensibilities. However, touch is also the main way a blind person distinguishes between clothing items, since they are unable to see texture or color. There are now fabrics and shirts that have been adapted to these sensibilities and special needs of blind people by creating a special blend of spandex and cotton with bamboo. These are more appealing and finer clothes when it comes to touch when compared to regular clothing items. Sensor-enabled shoes to assist the blind in walking. Another recent development and extremely useful technology when it comes to the visually impaired are walking shoes that help with walking, which is something called Lechal, L-E-C-H-A-L. These shoes feature an embedded GPS chip that will vibrate to the right or to the left, depending on what direction the wearer should be turning. It also features Bluetooth functionality that detects obstacles and alarms the wearer before they bump into them. Since these shoes work on Bluetooth technology, it doesn't require an internet connection that constantly works, unlike a host of other devices. Where can you buy adaptive clothing for the blind? Ovidus. Use code GWG10 to save 10% off regular prices. Ovidus is a specialty manufacturer of clothing for people with physical or cognitive difficulties. They offer unique and innovative designs for easy and stress-free dressing by older adults, the disabled, or their caregivers. Zappos. Zappos offers much more than adaptive shoes. They offer many adaptive clothing items as well from many of the popular adaptive clothing brands. Plus, they have an advisory council that reviews and selects the items they choose to sell. I guess I've run out of time. Please go to grayingwithgrace.com for the rest of the article. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading the Vision News for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.